What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 123, and this happens to be the last episode of 2017, so it's actually New Year's Eve. And real quick, before we get into it, this episode is brought to you by Amazon. So if you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, it will give a little kickback to us, and it always just helps the podcast keep on going. With me, as always, is Derek. What's up, Derek?
Not much. How are we doing today?
I'm getting over being sick, but it's a good day. I'm getting a lot done. New Year's is, I don't know. We were just talking about it before we started recording. It's not as exciting as it used to be, I guess.
No, it's still fun. I mean, it's fun to see the recap. And, like, for me, it's mostly, like, remembering, oh, that happened in 2017.
Yeah, exactly.
So much happens, especially, and you see so much these days because we're all so connected. So just so much going on.
But yeah,
it's fun. It's fun, and especially fun on the tech side to see and kind of look back and say, "Oh yeah, that was this year. That was sweet. Let's see what's coming in 2018."
Yeah, it's gonna be. I think 2018 is gonna be a pretty good year for tech. Of course, we probably say that every year,
it's pretty much every year.
We'll talk about what we think's gonna happen in 2018 at the end of the podcast. Let's just jump into the stuff we did this week and some of the cool articles we put out, sort of end of year articles that we typically always do. So. First up, we have the Radeontech Asterion. I can't even say it. Asterion Classic case review. It's the only review we did this week. And this case is a full tower case. It is tempered glass side panels on both sides, as well as true aluminum on the top and in the front. So that's something we don't see a lot these days. There's not a lot of aluminum cases. If they are, they're incredibly expensive.
Yeah, there's been a pretty big move away from that.
So the way they kind of get away with this is that the front panel and the top panel, and I believe the bottom as well, those are made of aluminum. So they're single aluminum pieces. And then the internal, like motherboard tray and all that, that is steel. And I think it's a good mixture, and it keeps the price down, because when you get into all aluminum completely, again, the price just skyrockets. When you're looking at a aluminum front bezel like this, it's just awesome. Not many case manufacturers do this anymore. There was a time where we saw a lot of this. The prices were extremely high, but there was a time where everybody was doing this, and now a lot of people are doing like the kind of fake aluminum look and all that. It just doesn't look as good. And of course, it doesn't feel as good as well.
And they're heavier.
So Radeontech is a company that has been doing this. And again, they get away with it by making the internal frame steel and the outside, of course, aluminum, which I like. And this case has that sort of sleek, stylish design. The front is completely that complete aluminum front, the silver aluminum, brushed aluminum, which looks awesome. And then you have the tempered glass side panels on both sides. And I have to say, it looks really, really good. It's just a sleek looking case. I really didn't find too many issues with this case. It's a full tower, so you can fit XL ATX, extended ATX motherboards inside. Plenty of room for cooling on each side. Now, the one issue that you could run into is that there are spots to mount fans in the front of the case, but there's really no way for them to get air from the outside. This is the classic version. They have the advanced version, I believe, and that actually has vents on the side, and this one does not.
It looks like there's what could be vents in the side of the chassis, but isn't that covered by the glass, right?
Yeah, it's covered by the glass, which is odd. This is just like the Inwin 805i. There's like nowhere for air to go. So I think that would be an issue if you plan to do, a big intake.
Like super high performance.
Yeah, if you're running some either graphics cards that get really hot or CPUs that get really hot, you're going to have an issue, I think, unless you're pooling a lot from the top, which the top is ventilated fine.
Yeah, but you gotta exhaust it too.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to wind up with negative pressure, positive pressure.
Yeah, so that is just one of the issues. It does come with three of their LED fans, which is nice. So you have three LED fans, and they're white LED, not RGB, but still, I think that's better than just normal fans, I would say.
And you said they're white?
Yeah, they're white.
And white's nice. If you're going to do any single color, I think that white is the color you go with.
Yes. And then you, like I said, installation was pretty easy. I found it pretty easy to install everything. The internal design's very open, so you shouldn't have any problems really getting anything to fit in there. No problem with CPU coolers, graphics cards, or power supplies in there at all. And it came out to be a really good build, I think. Like, again, the only issue is the front, the front design just... It,
should have probably had some slots in the front.
Yeah, or something to make that cooling better. Or even a lot of companies who want that sleek front design, they have vents in the bottom. But the way this is designed, there is vents in the bottom, but they don't line up with the fans correctly to actually give you that airflow.
Yeah, it's not going to actually pull air up that way.
Yeah, it's not going to. So I think they could definitely fix that. And one thing I did want to say is that this case came with two zip ties, which for cable management, which it's just, you know, two zip ties is just not enough for any case.
Have any.
Yeah, you know, I think I have a ton of zip ties here, obviously. So I think I use six or seven total when doing, you know, when cleaning everything up in the back there. So I think that's just the thing. It's like, if you're going to include zip ties, please include at least five or six, you know?
How much is this case?
This case is, I think it's $159. Yeah, $159.90.
I think that you can throw in like 10 like, I don't even know what would that cost you, 10 cents for 10 zip ties maybe?
Yeah.
when you're buying in bulk, like, I think you can throw those in. When your case is that much, I do think that's a good price though for the aluminum included.
For the aluminum and the tempered glass on both sides, three LED fans, I think that's a great price. And I think that we had talked about a lot of these cases coming out with tempered glass side panels. Some of them are rather expensive for what you get, and I think this is a great price. If you are considering this case, just consider that the intake fans on the front won't really do the job correctly.
Honestly, with the lack of, like, it has very little in the form of cable management on the back. It doesn't, a lot of the modern things you see, this is like a case modder's case again.
You could mod this a lot to fit the things that you would want, and obviously, like, you could mess with the front, and of course you can drill out that aluminum.
There's a lot of design that you can, a lot of personal touches you can put on this.
Yeah, this kind of did feel like that old school case, you know what I mean?
Yeah. For example, okay, so there's a photo of the top intake, right? And the front panel, the IO wiring and stuff, it all just runs up. It's completely exposed. It's a perfect opportunity to build a shroud for that. Hide all those cables away, put in your radiator, build a shroud for that maybe too. Like, there's so much possibility in this case. You don't see that on most of the cases these days. It's nice that we get the features that we're getting, but it, as far as modding goes, there's not a lot you can do these days.
That is correct. And I think this, like I said, this kind of has that old school feel, which I liked, with the modern materials like tempered glass, which again, you don't see.
Yeah.
You know, so I really did like it. And I think the price is right. I think for what you're getting, the price is right. You can
especially
fit,
considering it takes full ATX boards. Was it, did you say it was EATX or
EA, up to EATX? So
EATX,
and because it does have, and it's a true full tower, meaning that you do have, you know, most cases will have seven expansion slots. This has eight. You know, so you can do a full workstation build in here, no problem. And again, no problem with graphics cards fitting either, because you have all of that room. You know.
Yeah, I see this as a blank canvas.
Yeah, you can do a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that was our only review this week.
It's a cool case. That's cool.
it's a cool case. I like it, kind of, as Derek said, it kind of feels like a throwback, which I kind of like actually.
Yeah.
So definitely check that out if you're into that. And we'll move on to our articles this week. And we had a few that kind of coincided with either the holidays or the end of the year. So first, we'll talk about our holiday gaming survival guide. And basically what this is that most people are off work through the new year. All the way from before Christmas all the way through the new year. And you have nothing to do. And this is a time where a lot of people game. A lot of people get a lot of gaming in. I know a ton of people that have been asking me, oh, dude, are you jumping on this game? Are you jumping on that game? I have even been playing games lately. Whoa. Yeah, I've installed Gears of War 4 again on this badass system.
Is that the first game you've installed?
No, I had installed like all my Steam games on here when I built the system, but I never played any of them. So
So
we did an article where we talk about great hardware as well as games you should check out. So going through the hardware, and this is all based on things that we have and that we've reviewed. So it's not just like, oh, this is the best graphics card out right now, blah, blah, blah. So for the graphics card, we went with the Aorus GeForce GTX 1080 Ti Extreme Edition 11G. That's in my system now. I love this card. If you're going for a card, I know that the Titan V just came out, but not many people are going to spend $3,000 on a graphics card.
Titan V is not a gamer's card.
Yes, that too. So the GTX 1080 Ti is the way to go. It is the most powerful graphics card in that range. And this one from Aorus is just great. It has the awesome RGB lighting. The cooling solution is really badass. And there's three different modes, gaming mode, overclocking mode, and a silent mode. So you can run it however you like. Software is really good too. I just love this card. And then when it comes to the keyboard, I have to give it to the Corsair K95 RGB Platinum. We talked about this when I reviewed it. This is their flagship keyboard. It's awesome. It has aluminum design, Cherry MX switches, RGB backlighting, and an RGB kind of light bar that goes across the top. It is a full keyboard too. So you have that full design, which a lot of people like, and you have six dedicated macro keys. It's an all-around keyboard. So if you're an MMO player, you can use those six macro keys. If you're an FPS player, you'll still like a lot of the features. It has the rollable volume wheel, which Derek loves.
Dude, I love it. Nothing better than being able to quickly adjust your volume.
Yeah, so this is just like the quintessential keyboard that you should have. When it comes to the mouse, I went with a Corsair Scimitar Pro RGB. This is designed as an MMO mouse, but I'm not an MMO player, and I've used this since the day I got it to review. the feel of this mouse is great. I like the size. The buttons on the side, while there's 12, I actually use them a lot. In different applications, I use them as shortcuts. Mm-hmm. They all can be programmed, so you can program them to do different things in different applications. It is just a great mouse.
You can't sell it enough. It's hard to explain how useful those extra buttons are in any game that you're playing.
And I never thought I would like an MMO mouse. Every other one that I've reviewed it and then put it away. This one has stayed on my desk since I reviewed it, which is says a lot about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And then for the headset, we have the brand new HyperX Cloud Alpha. I just got this in, haven't wrote the review, but I've been using it for the past few weeks. And my favorite headset of all time was the HyperX Cloud 2s. They were just super comfortable. There was just not another headset that could beat that headset. This is the brand new version. They matched the comfort quality, which I was incredibly surprised by. The sound is great. It just has everything. There's just a great pair of headphones. And the mic's not bad either. So
nice.
And then for the mouse pad, I had to go with the Corsair MM800 RGB Polaris just because of the fact that it adds so much to your setup. This is the one that has the RGB lighting around it. But it is a good mouse pad. And it does give you that extra USB port, which I think is quintessential. Because it just makes it so much easier to either plug in your mouse, plug in a flash drive. Right now I have the mic that I'm using to record a podcast plugged in there. It's just a great mouse pad.
Nice.
And then a little throw out to a new product that I've been kind of playing with a lot is the Lenovo Star Wars Jedi Challenges. And this is a sort of an AR experience that Lenovo has released. So you get a sort of an AR headset and you get a little mini lightsaber, and there's different lightsaber battles, and you can actually, there's like an RTS game built in, and it has all to do with Star Wars, which I know you're a big fan of. Yeah. And I was actually pretty impressed with this.
Really?
You know me, I'm not huge into VR or anything like that, but yeah. For something that's not, you're not sitting at your computer and it's a different type of game, I actually did like it. And it's kind of fun. I'm a fan of Star Wars, and being that I can have a lightsaber battle in my living room, which feels real.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Is pretty sweet. And then there's like, again, there's RTS, and then there's like holo chess with Star Wars characters. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
So that rounds out our hardware. And then we'll go to the games, and of course, I'm sure you can guess what some of these are, the most popular games that have come out this year. First, we have PUBG and Fortnite. Battle Royale is huge, and these are the two that I think you should check out. Fortnite is free, so if you want to kind of check that out, you can play that one for free.
Yeah, it's definitely worth grabbing.
PUBG, I think it's still $30, right?
Yeah, it's $30.
Yeah,
and
so
it's still early access.
Yeah, still early access, but both games are really great, Battle Royale style. Probably get a lot of gaming in on each one, I would think. Yes. So those are the two Battle Royale games I think you should check out. And then we go to Overwatch, which was actually released in 2016, but it's still one of the most popular games out there, especially when it comes to esports. And this game is really great, especially if you have a group of friends, and you know this is a team-based game, so... It's really good to you know, again, all your friends are off right now, like off school or off work or whatever it may be, get them all together, and this is the team game that you're going to want to play. And it's a lot of fun. Actually, I played it a good bit last year, or earlier this year, I would say. I played it a good bit. So then we have Star Wars Battlefront 2. I know there was a lot of drama over this game, but I think that if you're a Star Wars fan and you want to play a game, this is a game that obviously you're going to enjoy, and it does have a single player. While it's not as long as we originally hoped, still single player built into the game, which is good. And it's a game you can just pick up and play. There's, you know, obviously the multiplayer is really good too. And then we go to Assassin's Creed Origins, which just came out recently as well. And I've always said that the Assassin's Creed games are the best single player games out there, I would think. At least for me, they've always been. So great single player mode here. And it's Assassin's Creed, which I love the kind of just that kind of mixing with history and everything that goes along with those type of games.
Yeah, that part is really fun.
Yeah. So that is our gaming survival guide for the holiday. So hopefully you guys can pick up some cool hardware and get some gaming in. I know I have already. Hopefully Derek will get you on some games here.
I actually killed my PC, so...
Oh yeah, I forgot you killed your PC.
Rather, it died. And yes. So I've actually been playing on Xbox One, so that's disgusting.
You downgraded from the Master Race, I see.
I did, yeah. I had to. I have nothing. I'm not playing games on the Ultrabook.
Yeah, that's a little
maybe
difficult.
Maybe in the future here with some of these new APUs coming out, but not currently.
Yeah. So, being that it's the end of the year, we have our best case mods of 2017, and I like the list this year. I think we have some really good ones. So we'll go through them really quick. First one is from Liquid Mods, and it's his minimal build. And yeah, the reason I picked this one is that he built this. He built the case himself, but it's a rather traditional looking case. But the reason I liked it, and the reason we liked it when we featured it, is that he frosted the glass of the hard tubing, which is something that we never. I don't think we had saw it before that.
Probably not. No.
Yeah, and I think that was really, really cool, and just that this was just like.
It's a solid build.
Super clean. Yeah, the cleanest. That's why it's called minimal, is because it's like a minimalist look, and I love it. It's just a solid build. And it uses Alpha Cool parts, which we're huge fans of Alpha Cool. So,
oh yeah,
yeah. So we have that one.
It's a great build.
And then we have one that we featured recently, and I can't say this guy's name, so I'm not even going to try. But it's the Ducati Monster PC Ultimate. And the reason I picked this one is because it actually looks like a motorcycle.
It does, yeah.
The attention to detail of the different things that he's added to make it look like a motorcycle, and the fact that it's a fully functional PC inside of that is just awesome. And there's not many times where like somebody has built something like this that actually looks like another product. It's just awesome, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we have the Crystallize 570X, and this was part of Corsair's Crystal Mod Contest 2017, where they asked different modders to, you know, just build these awesome systems in their Crystal 570X chassis. And this is the one that I thought was the best. Basically, he kept sort of a little bit of the steel frame, but the rest of the case is either, I think it's acrylic. I'm not sure.
Acrylic.
It's acrylic, and it kind of makes the components look like they're floating.
Might have tempered panels on the front and the top, but
yeah. But it makes it look like
yeah,
it's that everything is floating, and it just has that amazing look to it.
The lighting is good.
Yeah,
the hard tubing is clean. It's really really hard to pull off a build this the component parts, the wiring, make it this clean. When it's all exposed how it is.
Like, yeah.
Everything is super exposed in this.
Yeah, it's such a sleek build. I think this is my favorite mod of 2017 for me.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, it's just so great. And the like those custom feet he put on just kinda add to it.
Yeah, the case itself is great, and then you go to the feet and it really sets it on.
Yeah, it's just such a clean build. I want this thing so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we have the Wheel of Star from Modder Crow. So this is kind of my pick for the scratch build. And the reason I picked this is one, it just looks amazing. I don't think we've seen a couple ones over this year that have kind of have this sort of design, but it's sort of a mix between like a gear and
it's almost a timepiece.
Yeah, like a timepiece type of thing. But what's really cool about it is you can actually spin it.
Yeah.
It spins.
It's actually motorized.
Yeah. Which is super cool. The PC is set in the middle of it.
That's the only thing that I'm not impressed with is it's very little in the way of actual hardware modding.
Correct.
It's basically a PC built inside of a geared contraption.
Yes.
Kind of looks like a Ferris wheel.
It kind of does, yes.
Yeah.
But I think that for the scratch build, I think this one was just something that we haven't seen before, I don't think.
No, yeah, it's
cool. And just the quality and just the, you know, the fact that it actually spins is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then finally, we have the Wing X99. And this build was so impressive for a couple of reasons. One is that the case itself was a custom build. I can't say this guy's name. Broadholm. So he custom built this case himself. It looks a lot like a Corsair 800D or something
that. Yeah.
But he completely custom built it. His acrylic work is awesome. All of the tubing is through acrylic channels to different different components throughout the build, to the reservoirs and everything like that. It just looks amazing. And then even more impressive is if you look on the back side of this, the cable management is just insane.
This is next level right here.
Yeah. He has cut acrylic channels for the cable management and run them through, so that's actually a showpiece of the build. Just super impressive.
If you're a modder, even if you just are a casual, this is something to aspire to. This sets the bar.
Yeah. So, and I think this is one of the first builds that we saw people showing off their cable management skills. Like, this is meant, it's meant to be showed off, and this was one of the early builds of 2017 that we featured. So. Just awesome. And just the attention to detail on all of this is just great. Yeah. So those are our five favorite builds of 2017. Again, we cover a build a week here. I think that's a good list. I think it's a really good list.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see what 2018 brings for Case Mod. It seems like every year it gets bigger. And with CES coming up, I'm sure we're going to see a lot of builds. I've seen a lot of builds that are being... they're getting ready for CES.
Yeah, a lot of finishing touches getting done right now.
Yeah, so I think we're going to see a lot of cool stuff. And we should have our best case mods of CES as well.
Oh, yeah.
So we typically do that article, so we'll have that.
It's a staple.
Yes.
Think Computers, Roundup.
Yes. Yes, we always do that at CES because there's always some great builds there. So, and then we're going to do our last article, which I just basically... went on our statistics and all of the content of 2017 and what was the most popular 10 most popular pieces of content from 2017. And we'll go through them really quick. Number one, surprisingly, was our review of the Asus Prime Z370A motherboard. I think a lot of people were going to be upgrading and they really wanted to know. That was like one of the board to get because of its price and performance, and it's Asus, obviously. So that is our number one article. And then we have a second most popular was our Case Mod Friday coverage of the Crystalized 570X, which I said was my favorite mod. I think that one did really well because I think we were one of the first sites to cover it. And then we have a couple of 20 of the worst PC setups, which again is are always so popular. So a few of those in. And then my review of the Samsung CF791, which is a 34-inch curved ultra-wide screen. One of my favorite products of this past year. Just such an awesome display. And then we have the Asus ROG Crosshair 6 Hero. That is the kind of quintessential board for Ryzen when it came out. I think that that was
probably
the board.
Probably one of the best boards for Ryzen.
It was one of the ones that was actually available at launch. yeah, you remember that? and we have your review of the Kraken X62, which I think both of those reviews did really well. Your 52 and 62.
Yeah, it's a really good cooler.
I'll be working on one article I didn't get done was favorite products of 2017, which we reviewed, and I think that the 52 and 62 are going to be on there for my favorite AIO of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have one article I did on the list of upcoming Z370 chipset motherboards. So. We got this information on all the upcoming motherboards for Z370 way before it came out. So we had all of that. And then the Noctua NHD15 SE AM4, basically the best air cooler for Ryzen. And then finally, the Case Mods and Builds of CES 2017 was one of our most popular of this year. So a lot of cool stuff we did this year. And it makes you kind of remember these things because, again, year's a long time, so...
This is nice too because it's a good recap of what we saw last year at CES, and we're about to come into CES, so you know, kind of remember where the bar was set last year, see what we get this year.
Exactly. So we will move into news now, and it's as Derek said before we recorded, it's kind of calm before the storm, so there's not a whole lot. But one interesting thing is that NVIDIA is working on a GeForce GTX 1060 5GB. Solely for internet cafes. This is what it's made for, basically. And this will be the fourth variant from NVIDIA. So you have two 6GB versions, one that has faster memory and one doesn't in the 3GB version. Now we'll have a 5GB version. basically, it's going to be the same thing as the 6GB version, but with 5GB of GDDR5. And basically, this provides internet cafes with a cost-effective option to deliver 60 FPS at 1080p.
And it's Chinese exclusive, too.
So this is exclusive to the Chinese market. You could probably get one somewhere.
If you really wanted one, it's the internet, right?
Yeah. But yeah, so these are actually available, and one was already leaked. And Gigabyte put this up on their website. They have a GTX 1060 5GB WinForce OC. It's basically the same thing as their GTX 1060 6GB WinForce OC. Same cooler design, same everything like that. Just that it's 5GB of GDDR5. Yeah, I don't know we don't know the price difference between the 3, the 5, and the 6.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What the actual price difference is. If it's like $50, I would say it could be worth it.
If it's $50 less, you're saying?
Or... Yes.
Yeah. I mean, a gigabyte isn't... At 1080p, I think that you're safe. I mean, obviously, NVIDIA's making it for that, so...
Yeah,
and you're safe for that.
I think that there's, especially in the Chinese market, internet cafes are much bigger than they are here.
Hmm.
And if there's a need for it, I think that there you go.
Yeah, I mean, it'll sell or it won't, right?
Yeah. And then we'll move over to EVGA, and they have just announced their X299 Dark motherboard, and this is their big boy. Everything on it, everything that you want on it.
Everything in the kitchen sink.
Yeah, for X299. And one thing that's interesting is that there's three fans on this motherboard.
Yeah.
One over the PCH, and then two incredibly... What do you think those are? 20 millimeter?
Yeah.
Fans that are on the power delivery components. If you are running anything over the 10-core Intel part, those get really hot, so pretty interesting. There's everything on this. You have the great graphics card supports. You have USB 3.1 on this. You have multiple M.2s. You have the dual debug screen display, power and reset on the board.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff on this thing. This is like the ultimate workstation board.
Yeah, I especially like the built-in M.2 coolers.
They're
under the shroud, and so those are actually fan-cooled. Or they should be, I would imagine.
I think the big fan, will exhaust out, yeah.
Yeah, so it should be fan-cooled, so that's a positive feature there. The metal supports on the 4-way SLI is good. This is one of those boards that you're actually going to, you'll be happy running 4-way SLI on. Plenty of bandwidth.
The only thing that it's kind of weird about this board, and EVGA has done this over the past couple generations, is that there's only 4 DDR4 DIMM slots. There's not 8.
Yeah, then that's weird too.
Yeah,
which forces you to buy more expensive memory if you want to actually populate it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's EATX too, so you've got the cutouts for the 24-pin, the extra power for the graphics, and the...
And you have the dip switches to turn them off, which is nice.
Yeah.
So if you're troubleshooting, especially if you're doing some crazy overclocking, you can just, instead of taking the card out and then reseating it, you can just turn the lane off and turn it back on.
Which is, if you've ever run a 4-way or even 3, like... Especially if you're water cooled, that is like critical for figuring out issues.
Yeah, so this basically has everything.
You know what it doesn't have though?
What's that?
LEDs of any sort.
I think. Do you see like those lines around the CPU?
Yeah.
Those could be. I'm not sure.
I guess it could have LEDs, but it specifically says that they do not have RGB LED support. So I take that to mean it doesn't even have a header.
Probably not.
This is not a... It is intended for a hardcore enthusiast, and there is a market for it. And those guys, I suppose, they really don't care about LEDs. I do think that it would have been simple to add them.
Yes. I don't see...
Made it more inclusive.
Yeah, I don't see an RGB header anywhere. There is one... I have the X299 Micro, and there is an RGB header on that, surprisingly.
Yeah. I have to say that I wouldn't buy a modern motherboard without an RGB header, because you never know... what you're going to want to do.
True. I think this is really an overclocker's board.
Yeah. I think this is you put an LN2 pod on here and you see how
yeah, and just I mean if you look at the CPU socket and see how there's nothing around it.
I think that's the reason for the fewer memory slots.
Yeah, that too, because you put that what's that putty stuff on there.
Yeah, you're gonna cover the board anyways with what is that, Dragon Scale, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so but it's pretty cool. I always like the motherboards that go just above and beyond, even though like I would never have any use for this stuff. Just
it's
like the
cool.
Yeah, really it's cool. Yeah, and it does have the dual 8-pin CPU as well.
Yeah, yeah. Plenty of power delivery for the circuit.
Yeah, so
I love the black theme. I just think that it wouldn't have hurt to put some traces on it, to put some LEDs in there. White LEDs on a black board would be pretty incredible to me.
Yeah, you know what? I just realized too. If you look at the back of the shot of the back of the board,
yeah,
it has a heatsink under VRM. So like. Yeah. This is really made for a hardcore overclocking because, yeah, like, I've never seen a board that has that big of a heatsink on the back of it.
They're expecting the VRM to get quite...
Yeah, I guess, yeah, there is, and if I look at the back of the board, there is the trace where the audio components and all that are.
Mm.
So
that's
you will have...
that's the isolation, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's usually lit up, typically.
But it didn't used to be, though, because the trace is on older boards that before they did put the LED trace in there. That to actually separate the components that you don't get bleed.
Yeah. I think it would light up.
We'll see.
I'm guessing.
I was about to Google, but this is not how yet.
Yeah. But yeah, because like the one I have has that exact same trace that the micro, and it does light up. So I would think it's similar, but you never know. Yeah. But yeah, just if you're looking for an overclocking board for X299, this would be it.
Yeah. Definitely. Yes,
for sure.
Kind of replaces, because Gigabyte's not doing their super
overclocking
boards. It kind of takes up that space.
That series from Gigabyte was so good.
You remember what was the orange one? It was an X99 board.
And yeah.
Was it 170?
Yeah, I think they did the Z170 and they did the X99 for it. It was like their OC series. It was like,
it was
orange. It looked sweet. It was unlike anything else. And you know what's funny is that the year they launched the X99 one at CES, it was all by itself. Nobody cared about it. And, like, we were the only people that covered it because I was like, there it is. Like, this ultimate overclocking board. But
Yeah. I got to see that in person a couple times and I was like, oh, man, I want this.
Bad. Yeah, it was like a $400 board.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah. Hopefully we'll see something like that. Maybe Gigabyte will surprise us at CES.
That would be cool.
So Fantex this week announced their Glacier Series R160 and R220 reservoirs, and they're pretty interesting.
This is a unique item.
Yeah, for the fact that they're not your typical reservoir, they're square-shaped, and they have heat sinks on them. Yes. What do you think about that? As being a water cooler, what do you think about that?
I think that the volume... the water volume is lower on this, so they're probably trying to add a little bit of benefit there with that. In addition to the fact that this is a pump built-in item, so that heatsink is going to help dissipate heat from the pump that would otherwise just kind of linger there.
Do you think the design would make it easier to kind of mount this?
Yes and no. Yes, because it's thinner, right? So in theory, it should be easier to find a space for it. I don't think you'll have any trouble with it because you're kind of, when you're doing water cooling, you're kind of modding to begin with, so you kind of have that in mind. On the other hand, we've been working with cylindrical reservoirs for like the past, I don't know, 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
So things are pretty well built around that idea, you know?
Yeah.
But these just are, it's really cool because it's the first time I think that we've seen a manufacturer come out with this the sandwiched acrylic.
Like
the panes of acrylic with the because we've seen this in custom builds a lot.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But I think this is the first time we've seen a manufacturer. It's kind of the next step after the hex res that Bits Power came out with.
Yeah, I love that hex res. We talk about it all the time when we see builds with it. I think it's cool.
This is great. This is an awesome item.
And it kind of just takes it to the next level when it comes to like creativity, because you could put a couple of these like around your build.
Oh, yeah, totally.
you know
they have tons of inlets, outlets, so there's a lot of flow options too.
Yeah, so I kind of like it. So the smaller 160 is $89.99 and the 220 is $109.99. And again, they come with the pumps.
Expensive, yeah.
They come with the pumps built in. So.
Oh, they do. I did not realize that.
Yeah.
It's a what pump is that too?
A small pump, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a not a D5. We're hoping to see D5 support, but I'm not sure what M pump that is.
Yeah. And these will be available in February, so we'll probably see these at CES, definitely, maybe in a build, which would be kind of cool.
At CES, yeah.
So yeah.
Hopefully, maybe we can get these to review, actually.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
So we have some news from Deepcool, who we haven't heard that much about this year, I don't think.
Mm-mm.
There's been a couple things, but not a lot.
Quiet, very quiet.
Yeah, very quiet. So we saw this case at CES last year.
We did, yeah.
I'm surprised you remember that meeting, Derek.
Barely saw it.
Derek died that day, so.
I did. Like, literally.
Yeah, especially like during this meeting, Derek was like that.
Yeah.
So their
get the bird
update to their Tri-Stellar was the Quad Stellar. Kind of same design, separate modules for separate pieces, components. It's kind of hard to explain this case, really.
Yeah.
And we saw it at CES, didn't hear anything about it. They finally announced pricing and availability. Now, this case is cool.
It's very cool.
This case is EATX, has tons of room.
Yeah.
Just definitely.
The shot that shows how much room there is the, I think, the drive bay one. There's,
yeah.
There's 9 drive bays in one of those pods. That's pretty.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Just a ton of, just a ton of space.
Yeah, totally. So it looks like there's two of the pods are connected internally, right? Because
yes.
That's where the whole motherboard area. And it kind of integrates the back panel, too, into that same space. So you're not running your wiring on the back side, necessarily, like you normally would in a normal case.
Yeah.
Like, it's got a hub, a fan hub, power hub, and that's, like, all inside that same space.
Yeah, so you have, like, your build's going to look sweet in this, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're not going to see it, though.
Each pod has a tempered glass side panel.
Yeah, but they are, they're smoked, though.
Yeah, so. And they're only on, like, the one side of each one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, this case is $400.
It comes with an app. It's yeah. RGB LED.
On the front.
On the front, and it comes with an app for managing that.
Yeah, and I just think that, and it's, again, I'm almost positive just looking at it, it's not aluminum, it's steel.
Oh, it's definitely steel.
I just $400 is just a lot of money.
It's really big, and that's my problem with this case is I don't see many people having the space for this. This goes beyond like your 900D, right? Like this is like into your I can't even think of a case that's like this big. It takes up a lot of
it takes space. I mean it, so like it's, a normal size desk, it takes up the entire desk.
Yeah. I think they had it on, like, a round four-person table, if you can picture that, like a lunch table kind of, you know?
Yeah.
At CES last year, and it was, like, the whole thing.
Yeah, it's a big case. I don't know how many people are going to buy this at $400.
It's not... It's deep cool, so to me, like, the quality of it is lower, and it doesn't come across as a showpiece to me. Whereas, because at $400, that's a showpiece.
Yeah.
You know, and this just doesn't have that feel.
You know, the thing is, though, is, it's, you know, $400 is a lot different than, like, the $899 of the Inwin special editions, you know?
Yeah,
but those really feel worth the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think this is a special edition. Like, I don't think that, like, you're going to get... There is, see that plaque on the back? Wonder what that says.
Yeah,
can't really tell by the picture.
Yeah.
But if...
It has a single fan.
I think there's a couple more
in
there.
Is there a couple more?
Yeah.
There's one at the back there.
Yeah. If this was like 1,000 made, that might make it more worth the $400 for me. Because I know I'm getting one of 1,000. You know?
Yeah.
That's how the special editions are from...
It probably will be 1,000 made because they're only going to sell that many.
Yeah. So, I don't know. $400, available in January. We're going to see it at CES again.
Yeah, and they're going to be really, really excited to show it to us.
Yeah. I think it would be
intelligent temperature control. So I'm curious about that. We've seen cases with movable vents or closable vents, like they automatically close and open and stuff. So maybe it has more to it than we see. I don't understand how it's been in development for a year.
Yeah, like, that's what I mean too.
Maybe it's a lot of software.
I mean
that control board, that hub is pretty big.
Yeah, and I don't know what all that hub does either.
Yeah, it's got a microchip on it. So
it looks like there's at least 6 spots for fans, if not more. I can't really tell.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, but we'll see it at CES, and we'll tell you if it's worth the $400. How about that?
Definitely.
They also, I think that they just like it's the end of the year. They needed to put some stuff out. So Deep Cold also, we saw this case last year at CES. This was their Baron case liquid.
Yeah.
This is a case, pretty basic looking case, although this updated version looks much better than the one that they showed us. This is a pretty normal case that comes with a 120 millimeter AIO built into the case, and it has this kind of flow meter that's built into the case as well.
Which is
interesting, cool, and cool, but I don't know how much is this one. This one's 139, so it's not horrible.
No, but the build quality on these is not at the same level as your Corsairs and CXTs. Even though I think it's an all metal, they say it's an all metal body. It's just the metalwork. It's steel, and it's not. It just doesn't have that same. Maybe it's the paint.
Maybe the
paint feel isn't as good. It's not as high quality of a finish. Maybe it's the lines. I don't know what it is. I dislike the fully open interior, the bay or the motherboard tray area. I know it's open because they relocated the power supply to the front, which is interesting.
Yeah, I did see that.
But it's also a really ugly adapter, extension adapter for the power supply into the back, so like that's in the way, and like it's just kind of runs through to the front into the bay area. I don't know.
They
did add tempered glass.
That was not there last year, so so again, we'll see this at CES, I assume, as well.
I also assume that they sell a ton of these cases in Asia. Honestly, like they keep coming out with new stuff. I assume that they're doing a lot of business in other markets, because I'm not seeing a lot of these in anywhere in the U.S.
Yeah, me neither. So we'll see. Hopefully, like I said, we'll see these at CES again. Both of these products we saw last year at CES. So
yeah,
hopefully they're more refined.
Yeah, and hopefully they have some other new stuff too.
Yeah, yeah. And then our last little bit of news is some gaming related, and it looks like possibly CSGO might get a Battle Royale mode.
And they might as well.
Are you surprised? I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised.
For a while, the top game on Steam was either Dota 2 or CSGO. They kind of traded places a lot of times.
CSGO is what, the most popular shooter of all time?
Probably. I'm guessing. Yeah.
Multiplayer shooter, I guess, if you go specific.
Yeah. So this was always a good game, and it's just that now PUBG has overtaken it incredibly.
Yeah.
Why PUBG not
and Fortnite both?
Yeah. And so why not put this mode into this game where people already know the mechanics of the game and all that, and now they have a Battle Royale mode. I assume that most people that play PUBG are Counter-Strike players, just for the fact that it's kind of the same,
the same environment.
Yeah. So I think it'd be cool if they did it.
Yeah, why not?
So hopefully that happens.
Do you think it'll actually like pull players back to it?
I think it will. I think a lot of CSGO players play PUBG. And if you already have CSGO and you have a ton of friends that play CS, this could, and with Battle Royale getting into esports kind of thing, with CSGO is probably the, from the beginning, CS, the original Counter-Strike and all that, and Counter-Strike Source and now Counter-Strike Go, like, it is one of the most popular esports games. So to bring the Battle Royale into it, not only would keep a lot of players there and keep them from playing PUBG, they already own this game, so it's not an additional cost. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely.
I'd like to see it.
It runs on a lot more machines, too.
And there's not that, like, you know, when, like, I've thought of playing PUBG, and then I'm like, oh, I have to learn this game, blah, blah, blah. Like, I've already played CSGO. I know how it works. You know what I mean? So it's not, like, hard to, you know, hard to learn either. So,
learning curve, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see if that actually happens. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah. I think it's definitely going to happen.
Yes. So coming next week, we have some cool stuff. So I'll be taking a look at NZXT's Smart Case, which happens to be their H700i. So their new H-Series cases are smart. Basically what that means is the fans and RGB lights are connected to a hub, and it has like smart quiet features and all kinds of things built into this kind of smart device, all run through Cam, obviously.
Okay.
So kind of bringing their best products all together in one, with their Cam controls and their fans and the RGB strips as well. So kind of basically giving you the whole setup that you would want in, you know, in a case.
We'll see. Smart, you know, I don't know. Smart, sometimes works, sometimes doesn't.
Right? Yeah, that's the thing. I will be testing that and letting you know.
Sometimes it's totally, like, unrequired as well, so.
That too. You know, even if it just, you know, you don't have to use the smart features. I would assume you don't have to.
Yeah.
I think that just having everything already pre-connected for me, right?
Yeah.
And that I can just install Cam, and then I can control my fans how I want and all that is kind of nice.
Yeah, that is nice.
Yeah. Then I'll be taking a look at Giel's super loose RGB sync DDR4 memory. So this is an update to their original super loose that we reviewed earlier this year. This one has RGB lighting in it, and it's compatible with Asus Aura Sync, so you can obviously control it that way. I'm just getting into this. So I can't tell you how good it is. The lighting looks really good, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's as good as the Trident Z, though. Trident Z RGB. Gotta look at it a little bit more. But yeah.
Does it really have that sticker on it?
And that's the thing.
That's the ugliest graphic I've ever seen.
It has that Aura Sync sticker on it. And then on the opposite side, it has a Ryzen sticker on it because we have the AMD kit.
Oh, it actually has the Aura Sync sticker.
Yeah, it's
why would you put that on there?
Yeah, I pointed that out. So this is another option for RGB memory. There aren't too many good options out there, so
yeah.
Again, our favorite has been the Trident Z RGB, so we'll see how this stuff does. And then I'll be taking a look at some RGB fans. So we'll be doing a few articles on RGB fans because I have a lot here. And our first ones that we're taking a look at is Inwin actually has their Aurora fans, and we have we got the 3-pack, and the 3-pack actually comes with 2 RGB strips too.
Interesting.
So basically, you get these fans, has a controller, and it has 2 RGB strips, and they're all connected together, so you can control all of them and do different effects throughout your entire case.
It looks like they daisy chain through the connector there.
Oh yeah. Yeah, the daisy chain makes them super easy to connect. Like, yeah. Everything works pretty well.
Cuts down your cabling, too.
Yeah, I literally connected them today, and they're super easy to connect, you know. And you can... These work with Aura Sync and MSI Mystic Light, so you can control them that way if you want. So if your motherboard's doing something, you can have these do them as well. Do that function as well. So
I think that's a must have.
Yes. That is what's coming next week. We might have some other stuff as well because I'm working on a lot of stuff right now. Cool. So that brings us to the end here. And first, let's talk about 2017. And what do you think the biggest tech thing in 2017 was?
Ryzen.
I would say, yeah, Ryzen. I think Ryzen was the most anticipated tech product of 2017, and I think it performed on its promise, which I like to see.
That blew my mind more than anything.
Yeah,
AMD actually delivering on a product. That was pretty incredible. I am pretty stoked on that, actually. pretty happy to have a competitor. Pretty happy to see Intel come out. Sorry, Intel, that I didn't choose you as your as the most interesting thing. You came out with a lot of cool products, but it was really only AMD that made you do it. So,
yeah, I agree with that 100%. I think Ryzen was the most talked about product. It was the most sought after product, I think, and the one that pushed Intel again to do all of those things. Yeah,
I think I also feel that as far as like so AMD had, you know, that's probably the most like successful product of 2017, most interesting thing. I also think they had the worst thing from 2017 with their graphics department.
I agree.
They couldn't have flopped worse.
I agree.
So,
yeah.
Rough there. It's kind of a 50-50 thing. If they would have had both products launch and be competitive, we would have seen a another line from NVIDIA this year. Instead, we did not.
Yes.
So that was disappointing. I think we will see the next NVIDIA line. We'll see the 11 series in 2018 now.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I'm most excited about for 2018 is the Volta-based GeForce products.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, we'll get a sneak peek at CES, possibly.
I'll be kind of surprised if they don't launch at CES. Paper launch.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of think it's. I think it's time.
I think they're going to wait a little bit.
But for what?
GDC.
It's too far out.
Yeah. Does NVIDIA? NVIDIA doesn't have to do anything.
No, but the Titan V just came out. If they wait too long, like all of the hype will die away from that.
True. We'll see. Hopefully, we'll see one at CES, and if we do, we will definitely let you guys know.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think I'm excited. I'm sure we'll be getting details on Ryzen 2.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Which will be cool. I think that's something that's exciting coming in 2018.
I'm really curious to see the maturation of the entire Ryzen like ecosystem. I want to see better motherboards and support, you know, all around. I want to see everything more fleshed out from them.
Yeah, I think that we did have good support compared to previous AMD products, but again, they just don't match up to Intel motherboards as far as feature set. So hopefully we see that.
I want to see them even try to take steps ahead. They took steps ahead on the processor side. Let's take some steps ahead on the chipset and everything else.
Yeah.
Right? You know? Try to push Intel on everything.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool. I'm excited to see like what's going to be the fad this year. Like this 2017 was RGB. Like what are we going to do next? Like I don't know.
Well, you RGB know? Will continue.
Yeah.
Jeez, I don't know. I'm sure we'll see a bunch of new cases. Well, take that back. We'll see a few new cases.
Yeah, I think we'll have some cool cases to see.
CES isn't really the case launch
event. Yeah. But yeah, it's just I think 2018 is going to be a good year for CPU and GPU for sure. So yeah, it's going to be exciting.
I think it's a good year. I think 2018 is going to be a good year to upgrade, build a new system if you're in the market for it.
Yeah, because I think that the Intel parts and the AMD parts will be matured, and we'll have newer ones coming out, which means the other ones will drop in price a little bit, all that kind of stuff.
Should see some more availability.
Yeah, that too.
We're gonna see some smaller nodes here.
Yeah.
With 10 nanometer.
Yep, should 10
be,
nanometer.
Should be seen. Even though there's lots of new issues with that, I think we're gonna start to see some 10 nanometer stuff.
Yeah, so it's gonna be a good year, I think. And again, this is our last podcast for 2018, and then 2017, and then next year's gonna be a lot of cool stuff. I think I'm pretty excited.
Are we doing a podcast next weekend?
Yes, we are.
Okay. We're gonna do it from Las Vegas because we will be there.
Possibly. We'll talk about that after.
Okay.
Also, we do talk about at the end of the podcast. If we did anything tech wise, you blew up your computer.
Yeah.
And
it just died on me. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it kind of died on you. Did you do anything else tech wise? See any movies? Do any kind of cool stuff?
I started playing South Park The Fractured Butthole. That's a pretty fun game.
Oh, really?
If you played the other South Park game, yeah.
Never played any South Park games.
You know, I actually have a free copy of Stick of Truth, so I might give that to you.
Nice.
Because they're actually legit games, because the South Park guys actually do play, like, MMOs.
Oh, okay.
And role-playing games. So, like, they're good games, man. Like, and they're well built out. There's voice acting in, like, the whole thing. It's just fun. They're silly, of course, but it's fun, and I've been enjoying it. Star Wars. Did we have a podcast in Star Wars? Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Let's see. What else?
I still haven't seen it.
Still haven't seen it? I've seen it twice.
I still haven't
seen it. Oh, and it's much better the second time. If you're feeling butthurt about Star Wars right now, go see it again. It should change your opinion on it.
Nice.
Yeah. I think that's about it for me. You?
Yeah, I haven't really got into that much. Just
you
finishing
some
up.
Games, you said.
Yeah, I reinstalled Gears of War 4.
Okay.
Which is one of the best games if you have an NVIDIA graphics card, for sure. Especially if you're pushing. I mean, I'm running that 1080 Ti on this 100 hertz screen.
Yeah.
Which is pretty. It's awesome. It just looks amazing. And like, there's like no issue. Like, you know, when you have an awesome graphics card like that, everything just runs smooth and nice.
Such a good feeling.
Yeah, it's just
load
like,
every AAA.
Oh yeah, like I and I, it, everything's like maxed out on it. Like it's yeah. Awesome. So I've been doing that a little bit, and then like I said, just working on stuff to get done before we leave for CES. So
yeah.
So yeah, I think it's gonna be a good. Good next couple weeks here for tech, especially for the site. So,
definitely.
Oh, one thing I forgot to say: our mobile only website has launched.
Oh, cool.
There are some issues that we're working on, but it is completely ready to go, mobile optimized completely. So guys, check that out on your phones. It should look the same across all phones as well. So the one we were using before kind of looked bad on Android phones, but looked good on iPhone. This one. Will look the same across all of them. So,
that's good.
So yeah. So that is it, guys. As I always say, we have our full show notes page that has everything that we talked about. So as we're going through, you can kind of follow along throughout the article. And if you're looking for us, it is just Think Computers, all one word, on all of your favorite podcasting applications or apps or whatever it may be. So until next week, catch you guys later.